reading today is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. One of the things that we have pointed out early in our study is that there are so many similarities in the book of Ephesians and Colossians. So many different portions that Paul wrote on similar themes and topics. And today we look at one that is certainly applicable to where we're going. And I invite you to follow along as we look at these first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to this portion of his word to each of our hearts as we anticipate what he has for us. Thank you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? We come unto you, Father, with gratefulness that we have the privilege of being here today, standing before you as a congregation in worship of you, and really waiting upon you for your spirit to teach us the precious truths in the moments ahead. We thank you for the treasure of your word. We thank you that you have willed that your word be printed. It has lasted down through the ages. We thank you for this time to turn to it, and we understand and we realize that the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And by saying that, I am admitting that we need your Holy Spirit to give us understanding, open our eyes, show us what you have for us for this day from this portion of your word. We pray that we might take to heart the truth that you have for us, and that we might go away from here rejoicing, worshiping, praising you, and even finding ourselves more in accordance with your will for us and what you intend for us. We do pray, Father, for some of our church family. We think of Sherry with the surgery scheduled for her ankle on Wednesday morning. We pray that you would be preparing her for that. We know that Ernestine is going to have surgery sometime soon. We pray that you would guide the doctor to make that appointment and set that date so that that surgery could take place. We think of Rick, so weak. We pray that even as he wears this heart monitor and as he's having these spells, we do pray that when the doctor looks at that and reviews what this has shown, we pray that according to your will, you would supply some answers to the mystery of what has been taking place and why he is so weak. Our thoughts and our prayers go with the Cooks and the Noskers as they have gathered around Kelly, not knowing how many days, perhaps weeks, at the most a month or two, the doctors say, as all of these efforts to try to stop the advancement of this cancer have proven unsuccessful, and you continue to be moving her in the direction of her home going. May this be a time of comfort, strength, encouragement for the family as they wait upon you. And we just ask, Lord, that your will be done for the most glory to your name. Now, we, in closing, Father, it comes to my mind, we think of the individuals down there in the state of Texas that because of the power outage early in the week when the temperatures were so unseasonably cold, all of the damage that has been done, the power is restored, but there are tens of thousands of people who are struggling with the after effects, broken water pipes and water that is unsafe at this time to drink. Father, I'm sure there are many of your children that have been affected by this down there. We pray that you would strengthen, encourage, guide them. And in it all, I pray that you might turn some hearts to you. Some might truly want to receive you as their own personal Savior. We commit this all now to you. We thank you in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're not going to be in Ephesians this morning. We are, of course, in Colossians chapter 1. All began to unfold.
Jerry, before you start, Wilson just called, talked to Kathy. He said his heart is really bad.
Okay.
And she just went home.
Okay.
So I told him we would pray for Rick.
Okay. We just did.
Okay.
While you were out there, we did just pray, but we can pray again now that we know there is a real concern. Father, we come once again into your presence for our brother and sister. We know Kathy is so concerned, and as Rick is really struggling this morning with those heart issues, we just pray that through this time, you would work your purposes, take him safely through this, give wisdom if they need to go to perhaps an emergency room to have some other professionals check this out, what's going on. Give them peace in their hearts about that, Lord. And again, we thank you that we can trust you to work your will in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. In Colossians 1, trust you have your Bibles open now. Paul began to unfold for his readers the cause for which believers ought to be thankful to the Father. The first part of verse 12. Continuing on in his letter, he mentioned two more great accomplishments. If you were with us last week, the first of those things that he enumerated, why we should be thankful concerning what the Father has done, you notice last week we saw in verse 12, the giving thanks to the Father, which or who hath made us meet or fit or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we looked at that last week. Man on his own had no way to qualify himself to be a partaker in the heavenly kingdom and the heavenly inheritance that awaits every true born-again believer. The Father did that for us. How did he do that? Through the finished work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But as we move on today, I invite you to drop your eyes down today to verse 12. Once again, my intention is to see if I can accomplish our message time in another verse. And that is verse 13. As Paul draws attention to the fact that there are two more things the Father did in our behalf for which we ought to constantly be thanking Him. What are what two things, Pastor? Number one, He delivered us from something. And number two, He translated us into something. Having said that, let's see first of all, as Paul points out, the beginning of verse 13, the Father, let's see number one, that He has delivered us. He delivered us. Notice Paul says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? By the use of his word, who hath, as King James says, the New King James says, He has. We see the obvious connection to here. It's still, Paul is still talking about what the Father has done for us. He started out in verse 12. Telling us that He has made us meet or fit for to partake in the inheritance. And in verse 13, He is still talking about the work of the Father. Who hath, or He has, done certain things. What is it that He has done? We're going to look at some particular words that Paul used here and take these a word or two at a time. And hopefully it will be a blessing to you. Let's see, first of all, the word that Paul used here, who hath delivered. Delivered us. This word, delivered, comes from a word which means to draw to oneself or to rescue. To draw to oneself. Someone has been in bondage and one delivers. And when one delivers, they draw to themselves that person. But perhaps it's a little easier. And maybe you prefer, Pastor, I kind of like the word rescue. He rescued us from something. That is a good word. Whatever the subject is that Paul is talking about here, rescue The word rescue conveys the idea that that one stronger and more able has come to the aid of one who was helpless and unable to accomplish deliverance on their own. You say, wow, rescue implies all that. Doesn't it? If someone has been rescued, it implies that one who was stronger and more able has come to the aid of a helpless one who was unable to bring about deliverance on their own. And that's the word that Paul uses for us. You know, I was thinking, remember 2-3 messages ago, Paul and Timothy were so much in prayer, and they said, in fact, we pray always, and we saw this back in verse 9, we constantly pray and desire that you might be filled, in verse 9, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. With that as a backdrop, just stop and think what Paul is unfolding here as he is pointing out thing after thing why we ought to be thankful to the Father. He is, in the back of that, the prayer is, O Father, help these believers to whom I am writing this, that they might come to fully realize all that you have done for them and intend for their lives. That's the background of what we're seeing here in verse 12 and 13. May that make a difference in their lives, Paul is saying. And that's a prayer of mine. May that make a difference in our lives as we sit down, as we, in a sense, pick this verse apart piece by piece and look at the different words. My prayer is the Holy Spirit would do his work to illuminate our hearts and eyes. And so today, as we move on, Paul said, give thanks to the Father always. In verse 13, because he rescued you from something you could not rescue yourself from. Does that make you thankful or not? Makes us thankful. Makes us thankful. Well, what is it? I'm going to turn the words around just a little bit, and I'm going to cut to the chase. I know the next words, it talks about the power of darkness. We're going to wait a minute to talk about the power. And I want us to address, what does Paul mean by this word darkness? That's our next word here. As he unveils the blessing of this deliverance. Darkness. What is it? What is darkness in Scripture? Well, I believe it is safe to say, number one, darkness has nothing to do with God. Why did I say that? In 1 John 1, verse 5, John said, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. So, we can safely say, number one, whatever darkness is that we were rescued from, it didn't have anything to do with God. Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, describes this word darkness as this. He refers to darkness as ignorance respecting divine things and human duties. Ignorance concerning divine things and what my responsibility ought to be in connection with them. He goes on to say it also addresses the accompanying ungodliness and immorality, together with their consequent misery. So what is darkness? It's ignorance concerning, we are truly, the natural man is truly ignorant in the dark, that's our proper term, isn't it? Concerning the things of God and my responsibilities toward them. And because I'm in the dark, naturally what goes along with that is just plain old ungodliness and immorality that the natural man lives in, and the misery that that ungodliness and immorality produces. Quite simply, if we want to define what is this darkness that Paul is talking about, that we were delivered from, very simply, it is the condition or the state of the natural man before coming to, by faith to God. That's what that is in simple, understandable terms. It is the natural condition or state of natural man or woman before coming by faith to God. You say, are you suggesting that I was in darkness? I don't have to suggest. I just give you some scripture. For instance, how about in John's Gospel, chapter 3, look at what John wrote in verse 19 and 20. John 3, 19 and 20. And this is the judgment or the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and get this, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the what? Light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or examined. So, we were all naturally in darkness. I want us to look at some other descriptive portions of God's Word that verifies this same truth, besides what we've looked at here in John chapter 3 and our text of the fact that the Father delivered us from that darkness. What else might we want to look at? Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. But in verse 8, for you were, King James says sometimes, I think the New King James simplifies it by saying, you were once what? Darkness. But now are you light in the what? The Lord. walk as children of light. You see, that was our natural state. We were all in the darkness of sin. And you say, well, I just worked my way out of it. No, nobody could work their way out of the darkness. The only way anybody ever got out of the darkness is through the power of the Father, for which Paul is encouraging the Colossian readers, thank God that he rescued you from that darkness, that natural state of sin and total ignorance of the things of God. You were doing your own thing. You were suffering the consequences of it. Excuse me. And you couldn't do a thing about it. Excuse me. Look back to the portion we read for our scripture reading this morning, chapter 2 of Ephesians 1 through 3. And you have he quickened or given life who were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice, wherein in time past, here's the way it used to be. In the past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice, among whom also some of you had your conversation or manner of life. Is that what your verse 3 says? No, it doesn't. It says, among whom also, and Paul even included himself, naturally, because he was just a sinner saved by grace, among whom also we all had our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, because in the darkness we were ignorant of the things of God and we were doing our own thing. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And in the message to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, the angel told him these words, and after John was, remember, because Zacharias doubted that his wife, who was an old woman who had never been able to have a child and was past the age of childbearing, the angel said, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son, and God's got a special purpose for him. And Zacharias doubted, and the Lord said, well, because you doubted, you're not going to speak a word until the day he's born. And the day he was born, they wanted to give him that new son a family name. And Zacharias asked for something to write on. And it says that he wrote on there, his name is John. That's the name the angel said. I want you to call this special child of yours. Instantly his lips were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to talk. And listen to what he says about this son, this special son, that has a special ministry. Look at verses 76 through 79. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, Notice verse 79. To give light to them that sit in what? Darkness. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. Yes, darkness. We were held in darkness. That was our natural state. And we would have stayed there had the Father not done something in our behalf. But as we continue on, let's think for a minute now about that word that I put aside. Let's think for a minute now as we go back to our text. We find that Paul says that we ought to be thankful to the Father who hath rescued us from, and his words are, the power of darkness. What is that? What is that power of darkness? Once again, Thayer in his Greek lexicon says this. He refers to it as spiritual potentates. Spiritual potentates. And he, in some of the references where this word is used, he calls it, and I quote, some of these verses refer to, quote, leading and more powerful among created beings which are superior to man. Some of the top ones, some of the main ones, some of the leading and more powerful among these created beings which have far more power than God. Well, as we look at this, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. It says that the Father has rescued us from this power that had much more power than we do. It was a power to keep us in darkness. We had no power to get out of that darkness. Notice in 1 Peter 3:22 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Now notice, angels, are they created beings? Yes, they are. Do they have more power than human beings? Yes, they do. What about authorities? What are these? This is a name given to other spiritual beings that God has created. And he also mentions powers. Here's our word. There are created spiritual beings created by God that have much more power than human beings. But the point of this particular verse is, who overpowered all of those? The Lord Jesus. He has gone into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has much more power than any of those supernatural beings. Not only do we find that here, but do you know that Paul made reference even in our book that we're studying? Look at Colossians 1:16, as Paul refers to this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. I'm sure if you haven't, you better realize it. Everything God created is not visible. There are invisible things to our eyes. What are they? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. You say, sounds like you're talking like there's a whole world of spiritual beings out there somewhere. That kind of sounds like what it's talking about, doesn't it? We can't see them. But just because you cannot see them does not mean that they are not true. I've illustrated this with you before. Do you know that there are, in this very room, there are all kinds of invisible things that you and I cannot see? Like what, Pastor? If I were to bring a transistor radio in here and set it here and turn it on to 760 AM, do you know what that little unit would have the ability to pull out of this room, the invisible radio signal, and we would be able to sit here and listen to WJR. And then we could flip it to FM, and we could find that we could go to 103 or 105 or wherever you want to go, and that same little thing would be able to differentiate between WJR's signal at AM 760, and it could pull in those FM. They're here. Say, where are they? I don't have a radio with me right here. But that doesn't mean they're not here in this room with us. What's your point, Pastor? There are spiritual beings invisible to the natural eye of mankind. And they are around us. They are around us. Some are good. Some are doing God's bidding. But not every spiritual being is good. Do you know that there are demons? Those that operate in the realm of darkness. And they very well could be around us right here as well. You say, oh, you're scaring me. Well, we don't say this to scare you. But Paul is revealing to us this precious truth. Believer, be thankful that your Father was able to rescue you from the powers of the power of darkness that had a hold on you that you could not break. Colossians 2:15 makes reference to it too, but we're not going to look at it. Let's look at some other additional scriptures concerning this matter of power. Luke 22:53. It tells us this. It says, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. Jesus is speaking now to those who came to capture him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The time had come. And Jesus said, why, how come you come after us with swords and sticks and clubs? He said, I was with you daily in the temple. You never tried to take me there. But then Jesus said this very significant truth. He said, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. right now. Right now, this is the hour of power. The power of darkness is going to be let loose. And everything that the Father intends to happen to me is going to take place in that time of darkness. Look at Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12. Remember I said a while ago, there are created beings in this world, supernatural beings that we cannot see, and they're around us. And in this very familiar portion, Paul said in Ephesians 6 verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is the passage which talks about the Christian's biggest battles, beloved, are not between flesh and blood. You say, I have a hard time believing that. Believe it. Flesh and blood is not our greatest enemy. That's not where the battle is, but we wrestle against, and here they are, principalities. We wrestle spiritually against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And fourthly, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the believer's true enemies. And you know what? If you think, okay, I can take them on, you're fooling yourself. We're not helpless. We have been given, beginning at verse 10, we have been given the armor that God, once again, here again, look who's provided everything for us. We didn't come up with this defense against this spiritual wickedness. The Father did. And He has given us the complete armor of God. And He said, you put it on, and you put it on properly, so that, verse 11, you might be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't have power over the devil and his intentions and his efforts. Neither do you. But through the armor of God, beloved, we can stand. And having done all, what?
To stand.
To stand. Beloved, this is great news. Who enabled us for this? The Father. The Father. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I can see where this one's going today. That clock is racing, and I guess I'm not. Because we're only going to get rescued today. We're not going to get translated, okay? We're going to get rescued. We're going to leave on a high note. That's good news that we were rescued, isn't it?
Amen.
All right. Let's look at Acts 26. Boy, that clock. Acts 26. I've told you before, my wife keeps saying, you just like to talk too much. When Paul was giving his testimony of his conversion, he was telling what took place on that road to Damascus. When the Lord at high noon struck him down with a light that was brighter than the noonday sun, and he heard the voice of the Lord. And Paul was testifying and telling exactly what happened and what the Lord said. Let's pick up at verse 16 of Acts 26. Jesus, after Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" It's interesting. He didn't say, "Who are you, sir?" He already knew who he was talking to. Paul was no doubt. And even as an unsaved man, he had the respect to address the Lord as Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." Look at verse 16. Jesus said, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you've seen and of those things in which I will appear." I've got a lot more I'm going to show you. You've seen me, and you've got a glimpse of glory, but there's a lot more I'm going to show you. And I'm going to make you a witness so that you can go and spread the good news. Verse 17, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from what? From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan. There, if you haven't figured out, when we are to be thankful to the Father that he has rescued us from the power of darkness. If the light hasn't come on yet, you know what Paul is saying? Be thankful that God rescued you from the hand of Satan. He rescued you from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance unto them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Satan will do everything he can to keep a person in darkness. He spares no effort. Look, if you would, to 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. Paul here, in giving final instructions to Timothy, he talks about how it's so important as a minister of the gospel, Timothy, as a servant of the Lord, be careful. Notice verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that are in opposition. Why? Notice here. Perhaps, peradventure, maybe God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might, and in doing so, they might recover themselves, get this, from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Here we see some of the power the devil is given. He has the power to snare and take captives, individuals, at his will. Kind of frightening, isn't it? You say the devil's not real. He's real. He's real, and Paul said, it is so important, Timothy, as you minister, that you minister in the Spirit and with the right spirit, trusting, praying that God might deliver some out of the hand of Satan, that he might rescue them. One last reference, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Remember, I said Satan will do everything he can to keep one in darkness. We close with 2 Corinthians 4:4. Verse 3, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, if people can't understand it, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world. Do you know who the God of this world is? It's a little g, beloved. Who's the God of this world?
Satan.
It's Satan. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. And we could add, who are lost in darkness. Satan will do everything he can to keep people blinded from the truth, to keep people away from the light. What a glorious truth to discover that the Father, through the work of His Son, was able to rescue us from that power which held us in bondage. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, what a glorious salvation this hour is. Let's look to Him in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the enablement to look at a portion of this verse to see evidence of your great power and might over any of your creatures. What a glorious picture it is that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were stumbling around in the darkness, no knowledge of the light of the truth. But you didn't leave us like that. You sent your Son, who willingly died in our place, shed His blood, gave His life. They buried Him and He rose again victorious over any angel, principality, or power. All glory goes to You. I ask, Father, that this truth might impress our hearts of Your greatness and might prompt from us our continual thankfulness. We are eternally indebted to You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Take your books and let's stand and sing number 267. 267.